In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we begin our Sabbath service. Let us arise to sing hymn number 277. Jesus Christ, that we are able to gather for the Sabbath service. We pray to our Lord Jesus Christ to guide us in our service today. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we now pray. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ. All In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I speak. Today, I would like to share with our brothers and sisters on an incident in Philippi. Last week, we spoke about how the gospel is brought to Philippi. And from there, it ended up with the baptism of Lydia and her household. Today, we continue on. Well, we refer to Acts chapter 16. From verse 16 onwards until verse 22, it tells us the incident that happened in this Philippines. And from this incident, we will study 3 points. Point one is concerning what is important in our ministry. Point two is concerning the obstacles that happen along the way. And point three, the persecutions in the way. After Paul and Silas have brought the gospel to Philippi, they remain in Philippi for a period of time. In verse 16, it tells us, as they were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl who had a spirit of divination and brought her owners much gain by fortune telling. The first part here tells us that Paul in Philippi, he went to the place of prayer. Last week, we already said that when Paul first arrived in Philippi, he went down to this place by the side of the river to gather together with the woman who prayed there. Here, it also tells us that Paul went to the place of prayer. It seems that in the midst of this divine world, Paul always go to the place to pray to the Lord God. He also dedicated a life to prayer. Prayer that the Spirit of the Lord God will open the way of evangelism. Prayers that the Lord God will open the hearts of the listeners. So in the midst of missionary work, we see Paul always pray. Divine work must be accompanied by the abidance of the Lord God. We cannot say that we are too busy in our divine work and therefore we do not have time for prayer. If we refer to Psalms chapter 1 to 7, Psalms chapter 1 to 7 verse 1 tells us, unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays up in vain. It tells us, unless it is the Lord God who abides with us, who bless the works of our hands, if not, what we do is all in vain. So that's why in the midst of our divine work, we must always pray to the Lord God. Our Lord Jesus Christ show us the way. If we refer to Matthew chapter 14, Matthew chapter 14, it tells us at that time when a multitude of people came to our Lord Jesus Christ, they wanted to listen to the words of the Lord God. Our Lord Jesus Christ also spoke to them until late in the evening. He saw this crowd of people who are gathered around, they have not eaten, and he showed compassion towards them. He asked his disciples to provide food for them. A great miracle happened by 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes. He fed the 5,000 people. Matthew chapter 14, we see verse 22 and 23. After this incident of feeding the 5,000 people. Verse 22 says that immediately he made the disciples to get into the boat and go before him to the other side. Verse 22, continuing on, he says that while he also dismissed the crowds. Verse 23 says, after that, he went up to the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. So from here, it tells us that our Lord Jesus Christ, after he is busy over the work of the Lord God, he went to the mountains to pray to the Lord God. From this incident, it tells us that we must be able to create time to pray to the Lord God. It is not when we are free, when we have the time, then we pray to the Lord God. We must be able to organize our time. We must be able to set a period of prayer in the midst of our divine work. Here it tells us, after our Lord Jesus Christ has completed his work, or he sent his disciples away, he also dispersed the multitude so that he can spend this time of prayer to the Lord God. We must also be able to do so. It is in this prayer that we are able to have communion with the Lord God. We are able to draw strength from the Lord God through this prayer. Once a preacher was sent to a certain place. He was a good preacher, an experienced preacher, one who is very fervent in the evangelical work. In this new place that he was sent to, the people there were lukewarm for too long. Though the people there are friendly, they provided for his personal needs, but concerning the divine work, there's nothing much that they are able to have. With this kind of setting in the church, the preacher also does not know how he is going to approach the work over in this new place. alone in this foreign place with token support from the local members, how can his work continue? But what is not possible to man is possible to the Lord God. We must turn to the Lord God to guide us, to move the hearts of men. So he decided that he must gather the church to pray. Announcement was made that every morning they will come to the church and they will have this prayer. But when the day comes, he is the only one there to pray. But it did not discourage him. Every day he will come down from his preacher's room, he will open wide the door, he will roll up the roller shutter, and he began to pray. It does not matter that no one is joining him in his prayer. He prayed that one day there will be people coming through this door. Oh, this is the prayer of this preacher. After a few weeks, there are one member and two members and three members are start to trickle in to the church to join in prayer. Maybe they are embarrassed because the preacher is praying alone. Maybe they want to just to come here to show support. But after joining this preacher in prayer, they stay back for a short period of time to talk to the preacher. And they feel very encouraged in this prayer and in this short conversation with the preacher. Soon after that, these members, they begin to invite the other members, telling them concerning the goodness of this prayer, and invited them to come to pray together. And after that, we find that there are more members are coming to pray. There are some who even took bus for 1 hour in the morning to come to the church to pray before they go and do their daily work. We thank the grace of the Lord God. After a period of prayer, we are able to see that God opens the way. There are more truth seekers coming to the church. And those who are baptized also increase. Here he tells us that prayers is important to our divine work, to guide us to have a direction in our work, that God will open the hearts of the listeners and also to give us the boldness to speak the gospel. Along the way to this place of prayer, there is a slave girl who came to meet them. He tells us this slave girl who had a spirit of divination and brought her owners much gain by fortune telling. Now, as they are going about their ministry work, they face this obstacle of this slave girl. People at that time are curious of their destiny. In this ignorance, they consulted many of these fortune tellers. It is at this time that the devil works and leads men captive at his will. This girl is controlled by the evil spirit that dictates her answers in order to gratify the desires of the people. And very often, all this would deceive them. In Leviticus chapter 19, Leviticus chapter 19 verse 31 tells us, "Do not turn to mediums or necromancers, do not seek them out, and so make yourselves unclean by them. I am the Lord your God." You should not be involved with consulting these mediums, because they are the work of the evil one. Here it tells us that in the midst of going for prayer, this girl who is possessed by demons came to meet up with the Paul and his team of people. We always say that when we go into the world, Satan is always there to lead us astray. Of course, that is true. But when we go to the church, are we also free from the work of Satan? From this incident, it seems that it is not so. This demon-possessed girl meet them as they are going to the place of prayer. The work of Satan is everywhere. At the place where we least expected, Satan will appear and he will deceive us. In 1 Peter chapter 5, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, it tells us, be sober-minded, be watchful, for your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. So here it tells us, Satan is always prowling around like a roaring lion, seeking those who are not careful so that he will devour them. He is waiting for every opportunity in order to pounce on us, to deceive us. At this time when we are not careful, at this time when we are not vigilant, Satan will deceive us. That's why the Bible tells us that we must be watchful in prayers at all times. This girl who is possessed, when he came to Paul, here it tells us, Acts chapter 16, verse 17. She followed Paul and us, crying out, these men are servants of the Most High God who proclaim to you the way of salvation. So here it tells us that this girl, he says that these men are the servants of the Most High God. They proclaim the way of salvation. Of course, this testimony of the girl is true, in contrast to the gods of the Gentile, that the Gentiles worship. They are inferior beings. They are not even God. So that's why when Paul introduced this God to Athens, he had this to say. He says that the God that we worship, he's a God that made the world and everything in it, been Lord of heavens and earth. It is he who gives to all mankind and breath and everything. He made of one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling place. This is the Most High God that we worship. And this Paul and his team, they are servants of this Most High God. Because they are the people who are sent by the Lord of God. Romans chapter 10 verse 15 tells us, how can they preach unless they are sent? They are sent by the Lord God to bring the gospel of salvation to the people in this world, so that they can be saved from their sins. But how is it this girl who is controlled by the evil spirit testify of the workers of God? Satan knows the Lord God. He also acknowledged the work of the Lord God. During the ministry work of our Lord Jesus Christ, once he brought his disciples to the synagogue in Mark chapter 1. From verse 21 onwards, it tells us that he brought his disciples to the synagogue. Verse 23 says, immediately there was in the synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, what have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. You see, here also mentioned that Satan acknowledged the Lord God. He also acknowledged that the Lord, the work of the Lord God, is to destroy them. But this knowledge of the existence of God does not save them. They know there is a Lord God. They acknowledge that there is a Lord God in heaven. But they have no desire to repent, to believe in that, in the Lord God. That's why in James chapter 2, it tells us, Satan believed, but they trembled. This knowledge does not bring them to the Lord God. Instead, they continue to oppose the Lord God. This knowledge of God, the understanding that God will judge those who oppose Him, did not bring them salvation. But instead, it caused them to tremble. But Satan also always transformed himself as an angel of light. He is a deceiving spirit. He is the father of all lies. That's why from the very beginning, he used deception to tempt man. The Lord God tells man that they are not to eat of this particular fruit from the tree. But Satan asks Eve, whether is it that the Lord God does not allow you to eat of all the fruits in the Garden of Eden? And he tells Eve that if you eat of it, you shall not die. But instead, you will be wise like God. This is the deception of Satan to cause man to fall. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14, verse 14 says, "And no wonder that even Satan disguised himself as an angel of light. So it is no surprise if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. Their end will correspond to their deeds." Satan will disguise himself as an angel of light. So his servants will also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. This is the outward appearance that his servants will project to the people. But the heart is of the devil, seeking an opportunity to devour those who are simple-minded, the innocent people of the Lord God. These words of the girl, it also serves to mock at the workers of God. During the crucifixion of our Lord Jesus Christ, the people who led our Lord Jesus Christ to be crucified, they also put a sign and says, "Hail the King of the Jews." Did they acknowledge our Lord Jesus Christ, or did they mock at our Lord Jesus Christ? Same like this girl, they are mocking at the workers of God. These workers of God, they do not recognize me. These workers of God can do nothing. These workers of God have no power over me. They came to save the people, but they are not able to save themselves. This is what Satan wants to reflect to the people, to mock to them, these servants of the Lord God. But Paul recognized the work of Satan. In Acts chapter 16, verse 18, it tells us, "And this she kept doing for many days. Paul, having become greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, 'I command you in the name of Jesus to come out of her.' And it came out that very hour." This girl is one who do not believe in the Lord God. How can this girl be a witness of the Lord God? from the very beginning, we already says that she has a spirit of divination. Her work relates to the work of the evil spirit. He did not follow Paul in order to learn about our Lord Jesus Christ, to believe in our Lord Jesus Christ. He cannot, because he is a tool of Satan. Can Satan give glory to God? Can Satan be divided in itself? Once our Lord Jesus Christ says that the kingdom cannot be divided in itself. If not, it will fall. So Satan cannot be divided in itself. Although outwardly, he seems to be divided. But this is just a scheme to deceive the people. He is a liar. He is the father of all lies. It seems that Paul took no notice of her in the beginning, even though he knows that her work comes from Satan. Everybody in this town should know, because she is a famous fortune teller. That's why many people come to her, and she is able to brought much gain to her masters. But it is only after some days that Paul decided that these things cannot go on. From here, we are able to know that sometimes there is the time of God. There is a time for us to handle certain things. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1 tells us. There's a time and a season under the sun for everything. And God has made everything beautiful in its time. When the action is taken at the appropriate time, it is beautiful. But when is this time? This is something that we have to pray to the Lord God to guide us, to give us wisdom that we are able to handle things in its time, the time of the Lord God. Not our own time, but the time of the Lord God. Paul is familiar with this deceit of the evil one. This type of action that will bring people away from the Lord God. In the ministry work of Paul, he has already experienced this before. In Acts chapter 14, verse 8 onwards, it tells us of this incident that is in Lystra. In Lystra, there was a person who was crippled from birth. Paul saw that he has faith to be healed. So that's why Paul said to him, "Stand upright on your feet." And he stood up. But when the crowds saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices and said, "The gods have come down to us in the likeness of man." They considered Paul and Barnabas as gods. They wanted to bring oxen, garlands, to offer sacrifices. But when Paul and Barnabas heard about this in verse 14, they tore their garments and rushed out into the crowd, crying. Verse 15, "Men, why are you doing these things? We also are men of like nature with you. And we bring you good news that you should turn from these vain things to a living God who makes heaven and earth." Well, Paul is very certain of his belief. He knows that this is the work of Satan. That's why he gave clear instructions to the people. "Our purpose here is to bring you away from these vain things in order that you will be able to serve the living God who created heavens." But not every one of us is so careful. Sometimes we are overtaken by the praises of man, and it confuses our judgment of things. We are not able to see the schemes of Satan that is behind. This is something that we must be careful about. The next thing that Paul realized is that these praises of this girl actually obstructed and hindered the work of the Lord God. Because she is doing this for many, many days. She is following Paul and his team, repeatedly singing praises to him. Such acts is annoying. It is not in line with the spirit of a worshipper of God. Our praise should be to the Lord God and not to man. And this action is a disturbance to the preaching work of Paul and his people. It even affected the time for him. It diverted the people from the mission. In all this, we are able to see the subtle work of Satan. He did not go against the mission work directly, but distracted the people so that the people will not hear the word of God. So that the servants of God is distracted from preaching the word of God. This work of the people who are against the will of the Lord God, they are considered the work of the evil one. That's why when our Lord Jesus Christ tells his disciples concerning how he will be taken, how he will be crucified, an apostle of our Lord Jesus Christ, Peter, he says that it shall never be so. But our Lord Jesus Christ turned back to him and said to him, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me, for you are not setting your minds on the things of God, but on the things of men." Of course, our Lord Jesus Christ is not telling Peter that you are Satan. But the words that he speak, the intentions of preventing our Lord Jesus Christ from being crucified, is not from the Lord God. That's why he says that you have set your minds on the things of men and not of God. When we set our minds on the things of men, then we are a hindrance to the work of the Lord. So this girl here, she hindered the work of the Lord. That's why Paul cast up the demons from out of this girl. Paul recognized that it is the demons in this girl who is working. That's why he commanded the evil spirit to leave this girl. We thank the grace of the Lord God. In the midst of our divine work, the Lord God gave us power over the evil one. When our Lord Jesus Christ sent out his apostles to do the work, in Matthew chapter 10, verse 1, he tells us, he gave them authority over unclean spirit to cast them out and to heal every disease and every affliction. This is the authority and the power of God that is given to his servants. We thank the grace of the Lord God. As the church goes about its evangelical work, we are able to see that this power of the Lord God is with the church. There's a case of a girl in Batu Lapan. Actually, she comes from Batu Anam. She was possessed by the evil spirit. When she is possessed by the evil spirit, our members go to a village and talk to the parents. The parents say that, "Oh, if we are able to cast out the demons, then they will believe." Our members at that time, they are very innocent. They're young in faith. They brought this girl in the motorbike to go to Patu Lapang. We have a church there. And they let the girl stay in the church there. And every day they go to church and pray for this girl. There's no ministers there. So they just pray by themselves. And we thank the grace of the Lord God. The Lord God works. After a few days, the demons is cast out. And later shows baptized. This is the authority given by the Lord God to the church today. But after the evil spirit is cast out of this girl, does it mean that the apostles can continue in their work peacefully ever after? It seems that it is not so. If we read from verse 19 onwards, Acts chapter 16, verse 19 onwards, but when her owners saw that their hope of gain were gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged him into the marketplace before the rulers, and when they had brought them to the magistrates, they said, "These men are Jews, they are disturbing our city, they advocate customs that are not lawful for us as Romans to accept." The crowd joined in attacking them, and the magistrates tore their garments off and gave orders to beat them with rods. Even though the evil spirit from this girl is cast out, but it did not bring peace to the work of Paul and his team. After this girl had lost the power of fortune telling, of course, her masters also lose their gain. It is because of their anger that they take it upon Paul and Silas, bearing false witness against them, so that they will be persecuted. Or they did not see this grace and kindness shown upon the girl. And they are not impressed by this work of the apostles. But instead, they feel that Paul and Silas is disturbing their peace because they have cast out demons from this girl. Paul and Silas were beaten. Our Lord Jesus Christ tells us, when he sent us out into the work of the Lord God, peace may not always follow us. In Matthew chapter 10, Matthew chapter 10, verse 16, it tells us, "I am sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves." When we are going out to do this work of the Lord God, we are going out like sheep that is in the midst of wolves. The people in this world will hate us because they have hated our Lord Jesus Christ. Because we are not of this world, we have chosen to be the people of the Lord God. That's why the world will continue to hate us. But in the midst of these persecutions, we are not to be afraid. 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 14 tells us, "But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled." We need not be troubled, because we know we are suffering for righteousness' sake. So our concern should not be too much on whether we will be persecuted, but whether we are doing the will of the Lord. We thank the Lord Jesus Christ. Our sermon ends here. We will sing another hymn. Let us all arise to sing hymn number 166. Hymn number 166. Refuge in the shade of the sun. Jesus Christ, that we are able to come together for this Sabbath service. Or we pray that Lord Jesus Christ will continue to guide us in our mission. In the name of Lord Jesus Christ, we renew that prayer. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Father, grace of Lord Jesus Christ, so that you can be with you. Father, All of you. Service ends here. All glory to our Lord Jesus Christ.